Our Old Testament reading, which is not in the newsletter, but an additional reading tonight, is from Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Sittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." And then our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Mark, and we read from chapter 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole of the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. The children of Israel had left the bondage of Egypt after 400 years of oppression. Moses had led them to the Mount of Sinai to receive the law. And what did they do? They rejected the law of God. They had complained in the wilderness about the food and the drink, that things were better in Egypt. They were a complaining people, people who complained all the time. The anger of the Lord was vested against them when Moses came down from the mountain, you remember. And what had they done? They had bowed to the golden calf. They had absconded from the truth of the word and the faithfulness of the God who had led them to that moment. And that led, of course, to 40 years in the wilderness. The chastisement of God was upon that generation. That generation wouldn't enter the promised land. But Joshua came along at a decisive time, taking over the mantle of leadership, and eventually the children of Israel found themselves on the banks of Jordan. Before them was the land of promise, the land that God had promised them. The 40 years of wandering were over. They'd come to a decisive time, where now they would cross the river and enter into all the promises of God. We read in the Gospel of Mark at the beginning of Jesus' ministry the gospel of grace. Jesus emerges from the baptism in the Jordan, the affirmation of God's presence. This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. For him then there was 40 days of temptation by the evil one. The evil one who tempted him in so many ways. You must be hungry to turn this stone into bread. That's quite understandable, do it. Bow down to me and all the nations of the world will belong to you if you just bow down and worship me. And I can take you to the pinnacle of the temple. Can you imagine? If there you go and throw yourself off and the angels of heaven will come to deliver you. Everybody will hear about you. What a spectacle that will be. Jesus said, "Get out behind me, Satan. You worship God and him alone." And the evil one left him. We can look at those two experiences from the Old Testament and the New Testament and see the comparisons there. We can see the way in which the children of Israel, those who had wandered, those who had found themselves in situations of rebelliousness against God, were dealt with by God in a particular way. And then we see Jesus, the one who came without blemish, without sin, who for 40 days in the wilderness refused to compromise, refused to take his eyes upon that vision that God had given to him, despite the heat of the day and the coldness of the night. "Get thou behind me, Satan. You will worship God alone." And so in those two situations we see a comparison, the way in which man sins so greatly. From the ways of God, look at the world around us, the darkness and evil that is in the world. And then look at the one who came, the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Holy One. Look at his example. "Get thou behind me, Satan." Look at his ministry of compassion and love and grace. Look at the way in which his example to us on this first Sunday of Lent opens up a way for us in these next 40 days as we remember the full capacity of his love and his faithfulness to us, his children. What did we see? What did we see at the banks of the Jordan? What did we see when the children of Israel had come to this decisive time? We saw God there delivering his people, despite their sin and rebelliousness, despite the fact that they had turned their backs upon God again and again and again, despite that they would continue to sin once they got into that land of promise, when they would bow down to the other gods of Baal. And look at him, who began his ministry following his 40 days, by complete obedience to God and that which he was called to fulfill. God was at the banks of the Jordan, but God was in the life of Jesus, delivering him, keeping him safe. And that's the God we worship, dear friends. That's the great God who created the ends of the earth, who we have seen fully in the coming of his Son into the world. And we've got that capacity to understand that this, at the beginning of this special season, that this is a God who delivers. He delivered those sinful people, despite their sin and rebelliousness. He delivered them from their apostasy and their rebelliousness against his will. And we see him in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling that perfect mission, bringing deliverance and the forgiveness of sins and the grace and the wonder of God's love to those who didn't deserve to be redeemed. Because that's the nature of the Godhead. That's the nature of the God we worship. We cannot begin to comprehend his greatness. We are seeing a lot of programs at the moment about the exploration of the universe and the possibility that was on the news last week of aliens. Even Mr. Obama spoke about that last week. Why are we concerned about that? I haven't seen any flying saucers in Seaside for a long time. There's no evidence that there is life, but if there is, so what? Why do we concern about those things? The God who created the ends of the earth is the great God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, and it's a God of deliverance we celebrate tonight, a God of redemption, a God that gives new opportunities to sinners and those who had gone astray. That's the abiding truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths." What path are we following tonight? I pray we are following the path of him who came to fulfill all righteousness. The God of the Bible was there at the banks of the Jordan. God was in his Son reconciling the world unto himself. John says we have beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't worry what the world is saying. Take no notice of the secularization of the world out there. We tonight have this wondrous, wondrous truth that we can celebrate and rejoice, that we have come into a relationship with God through the one who came. You remember that in the wanderings in the desert, when the children of Israel were rebelling against God and Moses and saying, oh, it was far better in Egypt. You know, the food, the manna from heaven, despite their deliverance. And we see that sort of attitude in the world around us. But what did God do? He raised a pole in the desert. And he said, look at that pole, and all who look at that shall live. And that is the gospel call tonight to our rebellious, sinful world. Look to the cross. That place where God has dealt with our sin, our iniquity, and our rebelliousness. Dear friends, let us remember there was deity in the Jordan. And there was deity keeping and preserving the Christ, who was obedient even to death upon the cross. The God we worship is worthy of the adoration and praise of our hearts. And then there was direction. We find that Jesus was led into the wilderness. And that's an interesting way. He didn't go of his own will. He was led there. Following his baptism, when the affirmation of the dove had descended from heaven, this is my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. He went into the desert. He was tempted by the evil one. And in all things, he resisted the temptation of Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. He was directed there. Sometimes in life, dear friends, there are circumstances in our own lives, is there not, when we feel we are directed in a particular way. Sometimes in a direction that we would not want to go, the anxieties and the concerns and illness and bereavement and all that we find around us to be that which is of the world. It is not God who leads us there. It's our own rebellious spirit. Of course it is. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes we compromise with the world out there. We are not led in the ways of righteousness. And we're living in a society where so many temptations abound. In social media, in AI, or whatever that may be. We are seeing again and again the temptations that many of our young children are being tempted in the ways of the world. We need direction, don't we? We need direction and we need guidance in this world. We need a path to which to follow. And that's the way that we find here. Now that path will lead us perhaps into our own wilderness experience, where we will experience temptation to do that which is wrong. But like Jesus, we have a perfect example here of the way to overcome. And the author to the Hebrews directs us to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I don't know about you, but, you know, I sometimes think that our generation of children and young people today who don't go to Sunday school are missing out, you know? They're missing out on the important things of life. Remember going to Band of Hope and Ysgol Sul in Bethel? Yeah, well, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go on a Sunday afternoon. I'd rather stay home and watch the Lone Ranger. But the reality is, I had to go. I was made to go. And many of us here tonight, the same. And we used to, okay, reluctantly go, but I'm pretty happy now. I'm glad that I went. At least I know many of my contemporaries, children, boys and girls were in school with me, right? Who perhaps are no longer in the church, but because they went to Sunday school and to Band of Hope, they knew the difference between right and wrong. You know, there were things that remained. And that's been my experience. And I've met many of my contemporaries now, my age, and they say, oh, weren't they good days? And they were good days because we learned the way to go in life. We learn to follow the ways of righteousness and truth and honesty and kindness and goodwill, which come from the Word of God. I was doing Christian Union in Bringwyn just before Christmas, and I always ask the children if they've got any questions. And this young girl said to me, I'm not friends with God at the moment. Well, why? I said, well, my mum was expecting a baby and I wanted a baby sister and I've ended up with a baby brother. Oh, I said, well, oh, I'm very disappointed with God. I really am angry. I went back a couple of weeks ago and I saw the same girl. I said, how are things? You've got a baby brother. Oh, he's lovely. Oh, he's beautiful. Yeah, he's absolutely gorgeous. And his name is Eric. I said, that's lovely. Oh, he's lovely. Well, I said, before Christmas, you didn't want... Oh, I don't want a baby sister now. I wanted a baby brother now. Well, I thought to myself, that was quite incredible. How people can pray for one thing and get another. And yet, when we get the gifts of God's grace, how we celebrate and rejoice. I thank God tonight that we are here who have received grace. We didn't deserve it. We lived in the world and now we've been redeemed. We have been led in the right direction. And that is the direction that leads us to glory. That's the direction that the children of Israel needed in the depths of the Jordan area. That they would come to a new land where they would receive the blessing of God. But even then they weren't happy. But Jesus gives us direction in life. He teaches us the way to follow. The ways of truth and righteousness and kindness and grace. It all flows from him. And if this world would come to his feet, if they would learn from him, what a difference that would make. There wouldn't be the Mr. Putins of this world. There wouldn't be the Mr. Trumps of this world. There wouldn't be those cruel dictators in North Korea who condemn the Christian church. There would be no hunger and need in the world because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of goodness, of reconciliation, of caring, of love. That's the direction which God leads us as Christians, and that's the way we go. Clyde and Jan Briggs on Tuesday morning, you should have heard what they were saying about the wonderful work they are doing and the work of Open Doors. Going into the devil's pen as such, where so much persecution of the Christian church, but there are those who are following Jesus. There are those who are giving their life on the altar of service to him. There are those who are standing up for whom they believe. And friends, they celebrate that because they are following him. The way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way that leads to glory and to the presence of a living God. Dear friends, let's follow him. The direction that was given at the banks of the Jordan was the direction that was given to a people by a God who had entered into covenant with them, and he would not break that covenant. We come to Jesus, and the covenant of grace that we see in him is grounded in that which he said. Come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the only way, the way that God has ordained, that this world might come closer. One day, as it will come, coming of the kingdom of God, it will come one day, and we are following that way, where one day all things will be revealed to us. Let's follow him. Let's follow that way that he has ordained for us. The children of Israel need a direction. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then there was deliverance. The wonderful story about the Jordan and the way in which we come to this chapter in the book of Joshua. After all the trials, after all the setbacks, now they came to a decisive time. Now they came to the banks of the River Jordan. And the Lord said to Joshua, take the Ark of the Covenant and go into the depths of the Jordan River. Take the Ark of the very symbol of the presence of God, the Holy Ark, which they carried from Egypt, which they carried in the wilderness experience, now had come to the banks of the Jordan. The waters parted. The ark went before them, the ark, the presence of God, in the midst of the Jordan River itself, in the midst of the turmoil of the river, opening a way for those who would follow. And that's what happened. The children of Israel crossed over to the other side. The Ark of the Covenant had gone before them. The presence of God had led them. Now they had come to that place that God had promised. And this time of Lent, this 40 days, we are following a way that leads to the one who went before us. He, the God who in Christ was reconciling the world unto himself. He, the one who went into the depths of the suffering of Calvary, into the pain and agony of those moments, as he declared, "It is finished, the work was done." He entered in to our suffering and pain. He entered into the rebelliousness of man. He bore on himself the sin of eternity. And there, reconciling to the Father forever, he redeemed those who come to him in faith. The Christ who fulfills all righteousness. And he did it for you and for me. He died upon the tree. And in those moments, the temple curtain was torn in two. Reconciliation, acceptance by the Father, our sins washed away because we have been redeemed by the one who entered into the pain and the suffering and the rebelliousness of sin and became sin for us, as the Apostle Paul declared, there upon the cross. This Lenten season leads us to that place of suffering and pain, where Christ died. Where he, the Holy One, died for the sins of the world, that we might be redeemed and reconciled to the Father forever. I hope we know that tonight. I hope we are sure of it tonight. Because it is the clarion call. Mark says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came to fulfill all righteousness, the one who died that we might be redeemed. No longer strangers or aliens, but those now who have entered into that relationship of grace. And when we come to the River Jordan with our own sins and rebelliousness, remember that the Ark of the Covenant entered the River of the Jordan that we might go through. But remember, more importantly, that he who came out of the wilderness experience, 40 days being tempted as we are tempted, but yet who did not sin, whose life was one of compassion, grace, and love, the one who healed the sick and the one who brought joy to the hearts of the lost and the lonely. There is no other one. God's heart was open before us. We beheld the glory of God. The Pharisees and scribes stood with their mouths open to think that it is not the law that saves, but grace. And it is the grace of God we see again and again in the life of Jesus. Amazing grace to us who have gone astray. To us who are now redeemed. And made into the children of God. And all we need to do is come to him. Isn't it wonderful? All we need to do is come. So, dear friends, let's remember tonight that Christ was in, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That in the cross he gave himself for us. And it is a pilgrimage for us now. But it's not only for the 40 days that lie before us. It's a pilgrimage until we too shall see him face to face, when we will have entered into that promised place beyond the understanding of our hearts and minds, because the word of God says that God has prepared for us that which we cannot comprehend this side of glory. It is for the saints of God. Now, people tend to think, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? When we think of the challenge of the gospel, when we think of the promises of Jesus, what did he mean when he said, "I have prepared a place for you"? But coming back to my lack of understanding about creation, I don't fully understand the promises. But I believe them. We can't comprehend what heaven will be like. But that which God has prepared for us, it is, so it must be wonderful. It must be beyond the comprehension of our human hearts and minds to understand fully that which will be one day. Change from glory into glory until in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee. In what way? Lost in wonder, love and praise. Ah, wonder, love and praise. That's the gift of God. That's the gift that God has given through his word. And through the workings of his word, through the Old Testament, through the prophets, through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the fullness of those promises revealed in Jesus, from the 40 days in the wilderness, to the cross, to the resurrection from the dead. It is all of him. It is all of God. And that's why it's such a wondrous story. Rhyfer neu dragwyddoldeb llawn i ddweud yn iawn amdano. The whole of eternity is too short a time to proclaim what God has prepared for those who love him. So, dear friends, let us remember in the season of Lent, these 40 days in which Jesus overcame. Let's remember the promise that he made to his disciples on the upper room, I go to prepare a place for you. Let's follow the way that he has ordained for us as his church and as his people. He's given us direction, he's given us guidance, and it has to do with loving God and loving our neighbour. More than that, he's given us deliverance. As the children of Israel were delivered from the wilderness experience into the land of promise, so the Christ who came bore our sin and shame upon a cross outside a city wall. But no longer are we aliens or strangers, but we are the children of God. This amazing grace that meets with us, undeserving as we are, because he has given us life. And that life is not only for now, but for eternity. May that be our experience this Lenten season, and to him be the glory. Amen.